We read the passage already, and in the passage that we read just before where we picked up, you have Samuel, and he is God's kind of spokesperson. And Samuel is told by God to go anoint a new king. Go find a new king in Bethlehem and anoint him. This is kind of concerning for Samuel because there was already a king in place, and usually the kings didn't really like it if there was another king that was going to be anointed. And so Samuel, was a little bit apprehensive in doing this, but he was obedient, and he went to Bethlehem, and he went to Jesse and asked to see all of Jesse's sons. And in the passage that we read, Jesse brings out his sons, and Samuel kind of goes through the line, like, oh, this one has got to be it, you know, big, tall, strong man. This one's got to be God's chosen. And God kept telling Samuel, no, this is not the one. God looks on the heart, not on the outward appearance as man does. And eventually Samuel goes through the whole line and says to Jesse, is this it? Are these all your sons that you have? And Jesse says, well, I mean, I got one more, but it's just the youngest one. He's just, you know, take care of sheep. I guess I can call him if you want. So it calls David, who's taking care of sheep, and Samuel immediately sees him, and God says, this is the one. This is the anointed one. And so this really sets up David's life. And so I believe you've been studying David's life. And so this is really a pivotal moment for David's life, being called to be the next king. And so this morning, I'd like to look through this passage with our bottom line, kind of like a main takeaway. So if you only take away one thing today, it's this, that God calls us to be faithful in our waiting. God calls us to be faithful in our waiting. I believe that this passage shows us a few different ways that we can be faithful in our waiting. The first one is this, that God calls us to be faithful in our work. Now, where was David before he was called? What was he doing? He was shepherding. He was taking care of his sheep. What was he doing the day before the day that he was called? I bet he was taking care of his sheep. The same thing that he was doing the day before that, he was taking care of his sheep. David was a shepherd boy, and he was being faithful in doing what he was supposed to be doing before he was called. We read in verse 11, Samuel said to Jesse, are all your sons here? And he said, there remains yet the youngest, but behold, he is keeping the sheep. I remember going through this process of being called into church planting. At this point of my story, I was working in full-time ministry in a youth program, and I felt called into church planting, but didn't know how and where and why and when and all of those details. And I remember feeling almost a sense of discouragement, maybe a sense of confusion, not understanding why nothing has really moved forward yet. And I took some time, a friend of mine invited me on a prayer retreat. Just him and I go into a cabin, and we were intentionally going to take most of the one day, even though we'd be in the same house, we weren't going to talk to each other. We were just going to spend some time in prayer, read through some scripture. I had even brought my guitar to just, sing some praises. And I brought another book along to read. And I remember reading through a book by Mark Batterson. And I understand that the men's group is going through a book right now by Mark Batterson. I was reading through a book called Chase the Lion. And in this book, he kind of recounts the passage that we are in this morning of David's anointing. And the author talked about how David was faithful in shepherding his sheep before he was called to be king, before he was called to his next thing. And I remember just feeling convicted by the Holy Spirit in that moment that I was being called to be faithful to the sheep that had been given to me at that time. Before God was ready to use me for the next thing, I needed to be faithful in what I was currently doing. And I believe that that's a vital part of all of our story, that before God calls us to the next thing, we should be faithful in what we are doing now. God wants you to be faithful in the work that he has currently called you to do. And I know that sometimes we have dreams and ideas and visions in the future, and I believe that God wants to bless those, and the Holy Spirit wants to empower you to do those things. But I also believe that God wants you to be faithful in doing what he has called you to do right now in this moment. And as we continue on in our passage, I believe that we see that God wants us to be open to his call. In part of our passage this morning, picking up halfway through verse 11, we read, "And Samuel said to Jesse, 'Send and get him,'" talking about David, "'for we will not sit down till he comes.' And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. And the Lord said, 'Arise, anoint him, for this is he.'" I believe that David was open to God's call. He was willing to come in to see what was wanted of him. He was ready. I believe that part of our story, God confirmed that we are to be sent to Berwick to plant a church. And when we were living in Mifflinville, back across the river, we had felt called to church planting, but we didn't know how and where and what when. Berwick was one of those towns that we felt a pull towards, but we had also felt a pull towards a couple of different areas. But one of the things that drew us to Berwick was that we had been going into that town. We were members of the YMCA. We were starting to build relationships in that community. And so we had a desire and a pull to go into that town. And it's a little bit of a bigger town than the town that we had been in Mifflinville. But we still weren't sure. You know, we were kind of open to where God was wanting us to go. And this is, the thick of the pandemic, essentially, that we had been kind of open to real estate options. I mean, we kind of, I don't know if you guys do this or not, but sometimes at night, you flip through the real estate listings on a phone or on the computer and just see what's out there. You know, we had lived in that house. We ended up living there for about 12 years. And, you know, with the family growing, when we had originally bought it, my wife and I had no kids, and so we were quickly running out of bedrooms and bathrooms. Bathrooms are a little bit more important than bedrooms sometimes. And so we had a desire to, you know, have a house that could accommodate us a little bit better, maybe some land so that we could get some animals and that kind of stuff. And so just being open. And so we had always been open to something a little bit different. And also being pulled into the direction of Berwick, as we were driving through the town of Berwick one day, just kind of looking at a yard sale, really, we see on the side of the road a for sale sign at this house. And we look it up on the, you know, a real estate app, and we cannot find this house for sale. And we're thinking, well, what's, you know, why can't we find this house? And so we eventually type in the actual address, the street address of this house, and then it shows up. For some reason, it just wasn't in the real estate website or however that works the proper way or something. And we thought, well, in the thick of this pandemic, I'm sure that the housing market is similar here. This house had been on the market for a year and a half. And we thought, well, there's got to be something wrong with it, right? I mean, houses aren't sitting longer than a week or two pretty much anywhere else. So what, there's got to be something wrong with this property. But we went through and made the offer and went through all of the inspections and stuff. And we had a guy that we know and we trust look over the whole house foundation and the roof and just make sure, is there anything majorly wrong with it? And we knew that there's a couple of things that it needed, but nothing foundational or the roof had been replaced somewhat recently. there was nothing majorly wrong. And so we took that as God's saying, we want you to have this house. We want you to move to this community. This is where I want to call you to plant a church. And that was God's confirmation then, because we knew that Iron Mill also had their eyes on the town of Berwick to begin a church plant. And so that really confirmed a lot of things for us, that us being open to move to Berwick, move our family to a different community, aligned with Iron Mill's vision, and we are praying and seeking that that is God's vision and mission as well. And as we listen, as we talk about us being open to God's call, I'm reminded of the words of Jesus that are recorded for us in John chapter 10, verse 27. He says, "My sheep know my voice. My sheep know my voice." And so, do we know our shepherd's voice? When God is calling us, do we hear it? A friend of mine recently, I believe, was open to God's call in his life. He has a really interesting story, and I won't share the entire thing, but he was finished with most of his college work. He had an internship lined up, and this internship was going to land him a great job, if not at that company, at a different company, and he was, you know, going to be able to get a really good job with his degree. And he, just before starting this internship, he was outside of his apartment reading his Bible, sipping on some coffee in the morning, and he believed that God told him, as almost audibly as possible, "I want you to go work at a summer camp this summer." And he's like, "God, you know that means I have to give up this internship that's going to give me a great job." And he did that. He went ahead and let go of his internship. He worked at a summer camp for 3 weeks, and then went back to school, finished the rest of the degree, graduated, and then signed on with that same camp for a full year, like kind of a residency or an internship type thing with that camp. And he's currently in that position. And he did that in faith, not knowing how God is going to use him with his degree, how he's necessarily going to get a job. Maybe he's even going to go into full-time ministry. He's not sure yet. But he was willing to be open to God's call on his life. I believe as we continue to go through this passage, we see that God wants us to move when the Holy Spirit moves. And we see this really in verse 13. "Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that point forward." I believe that David was ready to move as the Holy Spirit moved on his life. I believe that here in Eastern Pennsylvania, as a district of the Christian Missionary Alliance, our mission, our vision is not necessarily to see lots of churches planted. I think that that's maybe a result of what our mission or our vision is. Our mission is to see whole life transformation happen because of the work that Jesus did for us. And we've talked about that a lot today. And I really don't know everyone in this room. You know, I don't know everyone's spiritual background and where you're at on your spiritual journey, but maybe you're here and you haven't crossed what we sometimes refer to as the spiritual threshold. Maybe you haven't put your faith and your trust in Jesus. Maybe you know who God is, but you're maybe trusting on your own works, or maybe you're just not sure what it means to have a relationship with God, what it means to go to heaven. Like, how does that work? We were ultimately created a long time ago to have a perfect relationship with God. We had perfect communication with our Heavenly Father, and sin entered into the world. We chose to sin. And that sin broke our relationship with God. But God wanted to restore that relationship with us again. And so he sent his son, Jesus. The book of Romans, Paul writes that the consequence or the payment, the penalty of that sin is death. It's because God wanted to restore that relationship with us. He sent his son, Jesus, to be man and die on our behalf, in our place. We deserve the death that Jesus died for us. And so when Paul continues on in the book of Romans, he says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And that's all it's about. That's what the gospel is. That's how you restore your relationship with God. It's about putting your faith and your trust in Jesus for taking on that penalty that we deserved. And I believe that that's what full life, wholehearted transformation is all about. And when we see that begin to happen within churches, then we see a multiplication happen within churches, and we see churches then planting churches, and we see a multiplication of churches, and eventually we see a movement of churches. Not just churches to plant churches, but because of the full, whole life, whole heart transformation that is taking place. Just a couple of weeks ago, I had the opportunity, an awesome opportunity, to go to a conference called Exponential. It happened in Florida, and it's all about multiplication, and there are somewhere between 5,000 and 7,000 people that gather together, all in one building, at least for parts of it, together. And it was just an awesome opportunity to be together with like-minded people, worshiping God, talking about empowerment, and really the Holy Spirit's empowerment on the church to say, let's move. And just asking the Holy Spirit to do a work here among us, and with wholehearted transformation, and then seeing churches multiplied. But in this conference, as part of the pre-conference, really a day or so before the main conference started, we had what they call pre-conference with our denomination, Christian and Missionary Alliance. And a gentleman shared a great illustration that I want to share with you. He had never surfed before. Maybe, has anybody here surfed before? Anybody in the boogie boarding? I mean, that's a little bit more East Coast style. So we can use boogie boarding. But this person had never surfed before. And so they were being given instructions to just sit on their board, basically. And then when his friend told him, the right time, start paddling, jump up, and go. Okay? And so it was all on his friend's key of when to jump up and go and catch the wave. And so, you know, if you're into boogie boarding or something, you know when the wave is coming to turn, get on your board, and take the wave into the sand, and hopefully you don't tumble on your way in. As believers, as Christians, our desire is similar to that of a surfer or somebody boogie boarding. Our desire is to be ready and waiting, anticipating that the Holy Spirit's wave is going to come and take us, and we're just along for the ride. We want to be ready. We want to have maybe some plans and maybe some strategies, but ultimately it is the Holy Spirit that moves the work of ours. And it's exciting to hear about the children's ministry and what Miss Lisa had shared just before we read the scriptures about the children's ministry and the opportunities that are here, right here in York County. And it's exciting to be a part of that. As we answer the Holy Spirit's call, or as we anticipate the Holy Spirit moving us in a direction, a lot of times it's uncomfortable. A lot of times it takes us out of our comfort zones. It might be risky. One of Iron Mill's core values that we talk about a lot is that they believe in taking faith-filled risks. And I believe that taking, like hiring me, was a faith-filled risk on their part. I believe that certain things that we do take risks, but we don't just risk things to risk things. We believe in faith that the Holy Spirit is going to move in a direction. And so sometimes it causes us to get out of our comfort zones a little bit. You know, it's more comfortable probably on a Sunday afternoon to just go home, turn on the football game, and just kind of relax than it would be to come back and spend time with, is it, you said fourth grade and above? That's right, Like, those are middle schoolers. I worked with middle schoolers for quite a while. I have a middle schooler. And so, you know, it's more comfortable to just be at home. But sometimes it's getting uncomfortable, taking a risk, and saying yes to what God wants. I have another, a different friend. I'd like to share his story a little bit. I met him through Iron Mill, and he is a college student. He has, I think, technically graduated, but still has some practicum type things. He's in the healthcare field, so he still has a little bit of work to do. He's done with his classroom work. And he had a short gap in between his classwork and when his practicum would begin. And he really felt God calling him to do missionary work with medical, his medical training on the mission field somehow. But he didn't know how and where, but he had a short amount of time to do it. And so he ended up finding a missions agency that wants to bring young people with some medical experience to go to Africa. And so he was able to go to Togo, West Africa, you know, to a place where they don't speak the same language that he speaks, naturally. And he was able to move when the Holy Spirit was moving him because he was ready to answer the call that God had on his life. And I believe that God wants to use us. When we are open to his call, the Holy Spirit wants to use us. So, I believe, and I just want to remind us again of our bottom line, that God calls us to be faithful in our waiting. God calls us to be faithful in our waiting. And I like to, after we look at a passage of scripture like we just did, I don't like to just say, okay, now go and be blessed. I like to make sure that we bring it into, what does this mean for us today? How do we actually take this passage about David being anointed and actually apply it to our lives today? And so I'd like to give you a resource to walk away with, hopefully. A friend of mine, Garrett Lowe, he's not too far from this area, came up with an acronym called Top Calling. And he has an organization called cornerstoneleadership.org. And Top Calling is an acronym, at least TOP is, T-O-P. T stands for talents, O is for opportunities, and P is for passion. So when we talk about T and talents, we talk about this is how God has blessed you. Certain talents that you may have, musical ability, or maybe you're really good with numbers. But this also encompasses spiritual giftings. Like from 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and Romans chapter 12, and there's a number of other passages that talk about spiritual gifts. And I believe that the moment that you accept Christ as Savior, the Holy Spirit gives you a special gift that you are able to use for ministry. And so that's what the T encompasses, is talents and spiritual gifts. And then O is opportunities. You know, you all here in Hellam have different opportunities than I would in Danville or Berwick. And some of you over here may have different opportunities at your work or in your neighborhood than somebody over here. We all have unique opportunities because of who you are and where you live, where you work, who you come into contact with. And then P is for passion. And this is the desire, the burning thing that God has put in your heart that you're passionate about. What is it that keeps you up at night? Maybe there's a need in somebody's life that's near you, or maybe there's just something that you know needs to be fixed, and you have, just have a desire or a passion to see the certain need met. And as you can see in on the slide, that when these three combine, like a Venn diagram, if you're into math and that kind of stuff, you get that star. That's the sweet spot. When all three of these things combine, that's your top calling. So where is it that God has given you talents and spiritual gifts, but also has given you an opportunity for, and where has God implanted a passion in your heart? And maybe for you all, I hear you saying that children is a great opportunity here in Hellam, in York County, to reach young people, to reach the next generation. And so I think that is a very exciting opportunity. I'll share a very similar illustration, and hopefully this connects with you. At my last church, it was an independent church. We took a mission trip. This was during COVID. We went to a very poor community in South Carolina. And a friend of mine was pastoring a church down there, and I said, could we come and just help you do, you know, some ministry there in your neighborhood, whatever it is that you would need? And before the pandemic, we had, you know, a number of students. It ended up just being three high school boys and myself going on this mission trip. It was probably one of the most fun mission trips that I ever went on. But here, I'm at this church in South Carolina. My friend, his name is Mitch, he was telling me about how he was called to this very small and dying church. And he was called to revitalize it as the pastor. So very similar to church planting. And he had all of these thoughts and dreams about what pastoring this church in this poor community would look like. There was a lot of drug use, a lot of alcohol abuse in this community. And he thought, boy, this is, you know, God is going to change people's lives. We're going to have lots of hurting people come into the church. And that's who I'm going to be spending most of my time with is these adults that are going through some struggles. But when he actually started into the ministry, the real opportunity that he was given was those folks' kids. And they were more than willing to say, here's our children. And so we helped them put on essentially a vacation Bible school or a club week, a week of club, with all of these kids, and they would just bus them in. And, I have a video on my phone of just the chaos that was happening in the church auditorium. Just all these kids, and it's the middle of the pandemic, and this is one of the only places that they can kind of come and, you know, just be kids, is in this church auditorium, and it was raining, and kids are jumping all over the pews, and praise God, they were here, they were there, and they heard the gospel. And many of them have lives that are being transformed because of the gospel and because of my friend Mitch and the opportunity that him and his church were presented. And they were open to how God wanted to use them. They may have had a different idea of what ministry would look like, but they're open to how God would work. I believe that we have another example of waiting in the New Testament. As Christian Missionary Alliance churches, we are what we call a Christ-centered Acts 1:8 family. And I'd like to read Acts 1:8 for you. This is Jesus speaking. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. That's Acts 1:8. That's exciting, right? At this point in the narrative, Jesus had already been crucified. He was dead. He was buried. He rose again and then said this to his apostles, his disciples. You're going to receive the Holy Spirit, which is just exciting. That's empowering. And that does happen in Acts chapter 2. We won't get into that. But the disciples are promised the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you and you're going to be my witnesses. The Holy Spirit's going to empower you to do ministry in all of these cities, and in whatever area that you have influence, the Holy Spirit is going to give you power. And it's exciting. But if we back up to verse 4, just a few verses earlier, Jesus says, while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait on the promise of the Father. That's kind of hard to do when Jesus himself says, you're going to be receiving the Holy Spirit. That's better than me, he says. Something better than me. You're going to receive that, but you got to wait a little bit. Just wait. Stay here in Jerusalem and wait. And as believers, being obedient, wanting to be obedient to God, we need to wait on the Holy Spirit, and sometimes that's hard. Sometimes we're impatient. Sometimes we want to get a step ahead of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we might not want to actually do what the Holy Spirit is asking us to do. So maybe we're lagging behind. Let's see what happens first and then I'll join. But no, we, as believers, we want to be in step with the Spirit, going when the Spirit calls us. And so I believe that God calls us to be faithful in our waiting. So my challenge for you this morning is this. Are you walking in the Spirit? Are you walking with the Spirit today? Are you currently being faithful to the work that God is calling to for you to do right now in this moment? Are you being faithful in your current calling? Are you open to how God may call you in your life? Are you open to maybe something different? And are you sensitive to how the Holy Spirit is moving? And are you ready to move as the Holy Spirit calls you to move? God calls us to be faithful in our waiting. Let's pray. God, you are good to us and we love you. We praise you for who you are. And God, we thank you for who you say that we are. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, for dying that death that we deserved. We thank you for calling us into relationship with you, the one who created the entire universe, cares about us. And God, we thank you and we love you for that. God, we pray that we, as believers, would be faithful in our waiting, that we would be sensitive to how your Holy Spirit wants to move in our lives. God, we thank you for moving. We thank you for giving us direction, for giving us opportunities to share the gospel. God, we know that the answer to life's problems are in you. God, we thank you for the way that you transformed our lives, and we pray that that thankfulness would just spill out as we go through our everyday lives, as we leave this building, go to work throughout the week, that and interact with our neighbors and our coworkers. We pray that your love would spill out so much that we just couldn't help but share what you have done in our lives. And God, we thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.